It's time for Fresh Oil with singer-songwriter and pastor Keith Manley, a program designed to minister the gospel of God's grace and to bring fresh oil to the brokenhearted. And now, with today's program, Pastor Keith Manley.
Hello, my friend. Welcome to another edition of Fresh Oil. I'm your host, Keith Manley, and you know, last week we began a teaching on the book of Philippians. It's one of my favorite books in the New Testament. It's a book that really focuses on joy, and the Bible tells us the joy of the Lord is our strength. Have you ever found yourself just really in need of some joy, friend? I'm telling you that many times when the enemy hits us and he brings one trial after another, his whole goal is to rob us of joy, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. Now, we left off last week with Philippians, the third chapter, and it's such a great chapter. That's that famous chapter where the Apostle Paul said in Philippians 3 and in verse 10, he says, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Paul wanted to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. Now, today we're going to pick up with Philippians chapter 3 with verse 12. Paul says this, not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay a hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. So many times people think because we're Christians, we should be perfect all the time. They almost seem disappointed whenever we make a mistake or we let them down. And in recent days, we've had an avalanche of ministry failures in America. It's been very disappointing and very hard on the Christian community as well. But I know Paul is very transparent here, and he says, hey guys, I don't have it all figured out. I've not obtained this. I've not already been made perfect. But notice what he says I do. I press on so that I may lay a hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. What did Christ Jesus lay a hold of for Paul? Righteousness by grace through faith. And that was what Paul is talking about. Paul's viewpoint here is fulfilling his life purpose. He realized that God had a plan for his life. Paul would become the great apostle who would bring the gospel to the world, the gospel of grace. See, when many times people think Jesus Christ came teaching grace and he taught the gospel, but really he didn't. Jesus came as the greatest teacher of the law. He told them, you've heard it said, do not commit adultery. I tell you, if you even look upon a woman with lust, you've committed adultery in your heart. So Jesus came teaching the law. He came under the law, born under the law. He died under the law. But it was Paul who God called to reveal the message of grace to the world. Now, what is the message of grace? Well, first of all, there's only one of two ways you can relate to God. You either relate to him through the old covenant, which is the law, 613 commandments that God gave in the law that you had to keep. And how perfect did you have to be? Jesus said, be perfect, therefore, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Can we do that? No. No, we can't. So what's the other way of relating to God? You relate to God through the gospel of grace. Grace is what Jesus did for you on the cross. And now I can relate to God, not by my performance, but by Christ's perfect performance on the cross. So Paul is saying, I haven't arrived. I haven't obtained all this. I'm not perfect in the flesh, but here's what I do. I press on so that I may lay hold of the prize. He gives us a picture here of a long-distance runner who has his eye on the finish line. He's straining towards what's ahead with one thing in mind, and that's finishing well, the race and receiving the prize at the end of the finish line. So many times Satan comes our way with all the adversity he can, all the trials that affect us on a daily basis. And so often, all he's trying to do is to distract us and get our focus off of Christ and the purpose that he has for us. Did you ever stop and think about how many of the things that affect you on a daily basis, the attacks you find yourself under, how many times that they're really nothing more than distractions? It's Satan putting something in front of you just to distract you and get your eyes off of the prize. Could it be, friend, that what you're going through today is nothing more than a distraction from Satan to get your eyes off the goal? To distract you from the important things, drawing your focus to those things that seem urgent. It's a conflict we face each and every day in our jobs, within our marriages, in our families, and in our churches, and wherever else we live and move and have our being. The urgent demands our attention, quoting Chuck Swindoll in his book called The Church Awakening. He goes on and says, it even shouts for it. The important is often quiet and respectful and is easily ignored or put off. There's a little book that I read years ago that has become so important in my life, the truths that I learned from it. It's called The Tyranny of the Urgent by Charles Hummel. And in this little book, I found myself at times stretched so thin trying to help everybody else. And when I read in this book, he said, we oftentimes neglect the important things in our life for the urgent things that demand our attention. You see, those things aren't really necessary to do right now. They're just urgent to someone else, or they're demanding your time, but we're never to neglect the important things in our life just to satisfy some of these urgent things that sometimes can be nothing more than a distraction. In that book, Hummel said this. He said, when we stop long enough to think about it, we realize that our dilemma goes deeper than shortage of time. It is basically a problem of priorities. We sense uneasily our failure to do what was really important, the winds of other people's demands and our own inner compulsions have driven us onto a reef of frustration. You see, in the next verse, in verse 13 of Philippians 3, Paul said this. He said, brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it, yet one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. Wow, I think I could spend the whole 15 minutes today just talking about this one verse. I noticed the first thing Paul said is, I don't regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do. It's so important to be focused. Paul was focused. He's like, there's one thing that I do, not a million things. One thing I do, and this is what it was. He says, I forget what lies behind, and I reach forward to what lies ahead. Sounds like two things to me, but really they go hand in hand. You have to forget and let go of your past. You got to let go of all the things that want to drag you back under and bring you condemnation and guilt. Paul said, I forget what lies behind. Can you imagine? The Apostle Paul was, he was a persecutor of the church. Remember Stephen, when he was stoned? They laid his clothes at the feet of one named Saul. That's this man, the Apostle Paul. He had persecuted the church. He no doubt had a lot of regrets. But what did he do? He learned to forget what lies behind and reach forward to what lies ahead. I want to declare to you today that God has a plan for your life. You might be sitting there today listening to this program and you're thinking, Keith, I don't really see a purpose in my life. I'm here to tell you, God made you unique and special, and He has a plan for your life. But friend, one thing we have to do if we're going to be successful in our life is we have to forget what's behind us, and we have to reach forward to what lies ahead. You know, you ever notice you never see a runner looking over his shoulder? As he's running for the finish line, he's always got his eye focused on the prize. Let me tell you something about the past. You can't live in the past. You can learn from the past. You can look at the past, but you can't live in the past. It'll only drag you down. What do we have to have our eyes fixed on? Focus on Jesus. Let me tell you, Satan wants you to focus on your failures. In Psalm 103 in verse 12, he said this, He cast our sins as far as the east is from the west. When we come to God reminding Him of our past, God's like, what sin? It's gone. It's under the blood of Jesus. So we forget about the past, and then secondly, we face the future with faith. Paul says, I forget what lies behind, and I reach forward to what lies ahead. God has an awesome plan for you, my friend. And Jeremiah 29 and verse 11 is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. God said, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. See, I don't know what the future holds, but I do know who holds the future. And in Hebrews 12 and verse 2, the writer of Hebrews said, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter or finisher of our faith. Now let's look at verse 14. Paul goes on, Philippians 3:14. He says, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. See, now he's elaborating on that view of the runner. What's the prize? It's the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. See, when I read these verses in Philippians 3, I think of the tired Christian, the one who's going through a lot of struggles, who's just exhausted from just the basic dealings of life. And I think about what Paul says, we got to press on. We got to keep pushing ourselves to make it to the finish line. In the middle of your battle for healing, press on. In the middle of your battle for your family, don't give up. Just press on. In the middle of your battle through depression, Paul's encouraging you today to press on. Now, how do we do that? By remembering that this life down here is just temporary, and we have a better day coming, my friend. Jesus Christ is soon going to split the eastern sky and come back for his church. Now, let's look at Philippians 3:15. I love this. Paul says, let us therefore... How many times do you hear the word therefore on Fresh Oil? It seems like it's in all these great verses. Let us therefore, so stop and see what it's there for, as many as are perfect. Now you say, Pastor Keith, you just got through telling us we're not perfect. And even Paul said, I haven't arrived. I haven't obtained all this. Well, in Christ Jesus, the moment you confess your sin to him and confess him as your Savior, in God's eyes, you're perfect. All your sin is cast away, and God sees you as perfect. So let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude, and if in anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. See, two kinds of perfect people, perfect in the spirit and perfect in the flesh. Down here, we never arrive at being perfect in the flesh, but the moment you receive Jesus Christ, we're given this gift of perfection. Let me read that same verse in the NIV. It actually reads a little better. It says, all of us who are mature should take such a view of things. See, he's talking here about maturity. And if on some point you think differently, that too, God will make clear to you. So Paul's leaving room for our disagreements here. Now, verse 16, he goes on and says, however, let us keep living by the same standard to which we have attained. See, verse 15 set a lofty goal, that spiritual maturity, perfection. You may not have reached your goal. You may not be perfect, but don't miss this. Now he gets real practical. He says, just don't lose ground. Live by the same standard to which we've already attained. Now look at verse 17. Brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. Wow, you want to see growth and spiritual maturity in your life? Watch who you're spending time with. Paul's telling us we tend to become like those who we spend time with. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he said, bad company corrupts good morals, or it corrupts good character. So Paul is saying, follow my example and be like Christ. Well, tomorrow we're going to pick up again with the next verse, Philippians 3 and verse 18. I hope you're enjoying our journey through the book of Philippians. It's the book of joy. I so enjoy being with you each and every weekday right here on this same station for Fresh Oil, Walking Grace, friend.
Thanks for joining us today for Fresh Oil with Pastor Keith Manley. Fresh Oil is an outreach of Grace Family Church in Rockford, Illinois, and can be heard each weekday at this same time. You can reach us online at weneedgod.com. Until next time, remember, God's love for you is unconditional, and he makes his mercies new every morning.